Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family. So, I just want to say, if you're a guest, we don't do this every week, but let's do it today. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And one day he was shooting at some crude, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. First thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, said California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the truck and to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools and movie stars, the Beverly Hillbillies. That went better than I thought it would. So the Beverly Hillbillies, if you're not familiar, it's a real rags-to-riches story. From the Ozark Mountains to the Sunset Strip, a backwoods family found riches. They moved to a new place, and then they practiced generous hospitality. And this may be a stretch. This is a stretch. This may be a stretch, but today we'll look at another family that discovered riches in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They moved to a new place and they practiced generous hospitality by hosting churches in their home. We don't know their last name, so there's no clever spin on the Beverly Hillbillies, but their first names were Priscilla and Aquila. Their story is interesting because we don't know much about them at all. No last name, no backstory, no description of their appearance, just the story of how God worked through them. And that has been the focus of this Uncommon Character series, which we're going to wrap up today. Our focus has been not on what God can do for us, but what God can accomplish through us. And Priscilla and Aquila are a really fitting way to end because their whole story is about how God worked through them. So that's their story, but we live in a time where we want to be known, right? We put our best life on social media. We project perfection. We are sold comfort. We're told to shun suffering. We are told that our life should be easy and great, and we deserve that. We're conditioned to ask God to deliver our wish list more than we ask how we can be used for his purposes. So, to guide my heart in that direction, I wrote a prayer, and I would love if you would join me in that. We can put it on the screen and pray together. God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. So the idea is that if God has given us forgiveness and freedom and life in his son Jesus, what would he withhold? So we ask, well, God, how can you use me? And today we're going to meet the family of Priscilla and Aquila and see how God works wonders through family. Some of you may be saying, bruh, you don't know my family. You don't know my family. But good news, we're going to see how God can work through brokenness and through dysfunction, how God will work wonders through family, and we'll see that family here is very broad. In this story, anyone who is a follower of Jesus is part of God's family. Ephesians 2:19 tells us, because of Jesus, you are members of God's family. So if you are a follower of Jesus, we are part of God's family, and God uses that family to work wonders. This is Steve. Steve! Steve is a character from Minecraft, a game that's popular with the kids. He doesn't have anything to do with anything. I just thought we needed a reference from the last decade. I love our kids and want to make sure they are engaged and paying attention too. I don't know if you're hip to the Beverly Hillbillies, but you know, Steve, if I've got your attention, we will now move on. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm not going to use a guitar. I'll spare you this time. But this one's about, that's not nice. So I need you to do that again later, though. I'll let you know when. So this is about a man named Aquila and his wife, Priscilla. We first meet them in Acts 18, verse 1, when Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And there he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. So all the Jewish people were forced out of Rome. So this band of tent makers found each other in Corinth. And then verse 18, Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, then said goodbye to all the brothers and sisters, and they went to nearby Cenchrea. There he shaved his head according to Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. Some of us have also shaved our heads to mark the end of a vow, the vow of pretending we had hair. Okay, so they left. Priscilla and Aquila stayed in Ephesus after Paul left, and they stayed there and they hosted a church in their home. As many of you did when we planted this church a little over a year ago, you hosted a church in your home, which means you are legends in the story of the church as well. Well done. So later on, the Jews worked their way back to Rome. And we see Priscilla and Aquila there again, hosting another church in their home. And the last time we hear of them is in Paul's last recorded letter to the young pastor Timothy, where he sent greetings to this couple that meant so much to him. So God worked wonders through the family of Priscilla and Aquila and used them to grow his church. And God doing this, God working wonders through family, is not uncommon in the Bible. We start at the very beginning, the book of Genesis. God worked wonders through the family of Joseph. After Joseph practiced forgiveness with his brothers when they faked his death and sold him into slavery. Remember, I said we would see how God works through brokenness and dysfunction? They staged it like an animal had killed their brother. They went home and told their family, he got killed. They had really sold him into slavery. So if that's not dysfunction, I'm not sure what we want to call dysfunction. But then we see God redeem that and save his people through this family and work wonders through it. And I just want to step aside now and say, God works through brokenness. And so with this many people gathered, there's a chance that at least one person in here came here today feeling broken. So I want to tell you two things. You're in the right place. The world wants to tell you a whole bunch of hope that's not going to last. This is where you find hope that is eternal, that is unending, that is real, that is firm. And also, if you came here today broken, saying, okay, I've tried everything else. God, I guess I'll give you a shot. I've got nothing else. Do what you want to do, God. I want to say, get ready. Because that is where he does some incredible work. When we are willing to step out of the way and say, okay, God, I'm broken. I'm at the end of myself. Have your way, do what you do. That is where God can do some miraculous work. So if you came today broken, there is hope and it is alive and it is real for you today. So God can work through brokenness and dysfunction. Also, we see God work through a family's tragic story of loss and death. In the book of Ruth, the main character refused to leave her mother-in-law after her husband died. And her loyalty led to a birth of a child who would be on the family tree of Jesus. Another example, John 11. God worked wonders through a family's loss and their belief. As Mary and Martha watched Jesus bring their dead brother back to life. But before this miraculous resurrection, Martha was a real person with real feelings. So she said to Jesus, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. So in the Bible, if you watch how people in Jesus' life, how his friends, watch how they speak to him. Like he was a person in their life that cared about them. And she had feelings, and she brought them to him. She said, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. She was heartbroken, right? She watched her brother suffer and die when Jesus could have stopped it. She was disappointed and she was confused. If Jesus really loved her family, why did he let this happen? But Jesus told her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? So Martha was hurt. Right? She said, how could you let this happen? But Jesus said, oh, there's more than the here and now. Right? There's more than this temporary pain. There's more than the momentary comfort this world offers. He said, if you believe in me, I will give you unending, eternal life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he looked at her. He looked into her eyes, into her heart, and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this, Martha? And so God's word is alive. So Jesus says to you today, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Jesus says that to you today. And then he looks into your eyes, into your doubts, into your fears, and he asks, do you believe this? If you think about that, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you have life. And then he doesn't say, now, are you ready to work harder? Are you ready to do better? Are you ready to be nicer? Are you ready to be a better person? No. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? That's what he wants of us, to believe. All those other things will come later. He'll give us the power and even the desire to do all those things, but it begins with believing. And he says, anyone, it's open to anyone, even people who've made mistakes, people who have shame. Because when Jesus died, he took those mistakes and all that shame, he took them into the grave, and he came back to life, and he left the grave, and he left all of those mistakes and that shame in the grave. So the things that the world tells us define us, he left there, and he says, believe in me, and I'll take those things, and I will give you forgiveness and freedom and life. Belief in him gives forgiveness and freedom and life. Your identity is not in the past. It's not in mistakes. It's not in shame. And he says, this is offered to anyone. Are you anyone? I know you're all somebody. I think you're all somebody special. You're also anyone. So anyone who believes has forgiveness and freedom and life. The question that remains is what Jesus asks, do you believe this? So if you have never answered that question, or maybe you have and now you wonder about it, or if you totally disbelieve it, any scenario, if you want to talk about that question, I would love to talk with you today. But for now, we're going to look at four qualities of Priscilla and Aquila that God used to work wonders, and four qualities that we can imitate today. So first quality, Priscilla and Aquila were helpful. They were helpful. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and asked them, he said, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. They were helpful to the point of risking their lives for another person. They didn't hold their comfort or their safety or their well-being above helping Paul in ministry. They were helpful. They were also humble. Before we get to that, can I tell you a cool fact I learned recently? that cats lay eggs? Did you know that? If anybody wants to correct me, you can. It's church and you're all being polite. You can tell me I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm a sensitive boy. Don't embarrass me in front of everybody. Gosh, you don't have to correct me in front of everybody. I'm just kidding. Dogs lay eggs. I'm kidding. Nobody lays eggs. The point I'm making is you're all being polite because we're in church. But when we see someone is wrong, we want to correct them, right? We want to correct them and say, I'm right, you're wrong. We want to set people straight. That's just our human nature. We want to correct. But watch this. Watch how humble Priscilla and Aquila were when they corrected someone. This is in Acts 18:24. It says, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he only knew about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. So they needed to correct him, but they took him aside. Right? They were humble. They didn't embarrass him and call him out. They didn't puff themselves up with pride because of their knowledge, but in humility, they helped him. They taught him, which helped spread the good news about Jesus. And another reason they were humble is because they were a family recorded and preserved in the Bible, a family Paul thought highly of. So they did some incredible things. Like they had done some amazing work, and we don't know about it. There are not stories of them boasting about the work they had done. They were humble. Right? And many of you who helped plant this church, you are humble. Many of you currently or have served as missionaries in the past. You have set aside the comforts and luxuries of life in America to serve. You've risked your comfort and your safety to do that, and you are humble about it. Some of you have faced incredible hardships. You have walked through intense pain, and now you use that experience to help others who are walking through that, and you are humble about it. Many of you invest your time and your energy and your money in order to share the hope you found in Jesus with others, and you are humble about it. Many of you are selfless and helpful. You cook meals when it's needed. You run into suffering when others are running away from it. You look into the eyes of somebody who hangs their head in shame, and you are humble about it. Well done. I love you, and I am proud of you. But enough about you. Let's move on back to Priscilla and Aquila. They were also hospitable. They were hospitable. Their door was open, and we always see them hosting a church in their home. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that when he came to Corinth, he said, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. So Paul came, he arrived there timid and trembling, but he found family in people like Priscilla and Aquila who welcomed him, who hosted him, who helped him. So they were helpful, humble, and hospitable. And finally, we see that they were hip connected. They were connected at the hip. Every time we see them in the Bible, they were together. They were together, but we needed a fourth H word, so they are hip connected. Here's what I mean by that. They were real people, right? It is so important when we study the Bible that we remember these were real people. They were a real couple. So think about this. They moved a lot, which is stressful. Anybody here move? How many of you said we're never moving again after you moved? Yeah, more hands went up on the second one. That's stressful. Every time we see them, they had people in their home. They had guests, which means they did the work of cooking and cleaning. Right? That's work. The work they did with Paul was dangerous. They were real people who faced real stresses, and they did it together. Every time we see them, they were together. They were connected at the hip, and they walked through these challenges and these trials together. So God worked wonders through this family that was helpful, humble, hospitable, and hip-connected. And the family started with Priscilla and Aquila, but they welcomed others, right? They considered Paul part of their family. And then Apollos, who they helped learn about Jesus, and then the church that met in their home was like family to them. So what does your family look like? What kind of ragtag bunch do you consider family? If you say, oh man, my family is dysfunctional, I ask, well, do you invite God into that dysfunction? Or if the idea of family is hard because maybe you feel lonely, have you told anybody that? And if you do, if they're willing to bring you into their family, would you be willing to do that? Maybe you're in a season that family includes classmates or roommates or coworkers or neighbors. So whatever that is, do you expect God to work wonders in that family? Are you committed to that family? Are you committed to staying hip connected when you walk through a hard season? Because God still works wonders through family. It might be messy. It can get really complicated. Family can look a lot of different ways, right? You may call somebody uncle who's actually your younger brother. You might have a sister aunt who's technically your neighbor. Family can get weird, right? The community that you call family may not even be connected by family blood, but by the blood of Jesus that was poured out to bring us into the family of God. Colossians 1 says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross." So God worked wonders by bringing us into his family through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then God uses that family, us, his sons and his daughters, to work wonders in a world that desperately needs it. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then we're going to take communion together. And the Bible tells us before we take communion, before we take this meal, to consider what our relationship with God looks like, what is keeping us from him. So I want to help, and I just want to ask you if there is something keeping you distant from God, if there's something keeping you from doing what you feel like God is calling you to do, if there's something pulling at you, I just want you to think about that, and I just want you to tell God it's there. He knows. He can handle hearing it. So just tell him. Ask him to help. Anything that separates us, anything that makes us further from him, just bring that to mind. Tell him it's there. So God, we thank you that you have made us your family through the blood of Jesus, and that you work wonders through your family and the community you put us here in this life. You work wonders through that. God, we are grateful that we get to be a part of what you're doing in spite of us. God, that you take our mistakes, you take our shame, and you give us forgiveness and freedom and life through your Son. God, we thank you for this meal you give us to draw us back to that truth. So God, we just take a couple of minutes now to confess to you, to be honest with you, to tell you the things that are coming between us and you, between us and your desires for us and your will for us. So help us now, hear us as we examine our hearts and our lives, and we just lay it out before you. So hear our hearts now, God. God, we thank you that you made peace with everything through the blood of Christ. That you made peace. And the tension is that we live in a world now that is chaos. So we thank you that you have given us this meal to draw us back to your perfect peace. So would you use it to that end today? In Jesus' name, amen. So if you open the top of this, you can take out the bread. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. You can open the juice on the other side. And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, take and drink. This is the new covenant that's confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us back to what is true. And just our nature is we forget and we think, I need to work harder. I need to make some changes. I need to do better. But you tell us, remember what I've already done for you. So thank you for drawing us back to your truth, back to you, back to your heart. Thank you for the life we have in you, because your body was broken, we are made whole. And because your blood was poured out, we are washed clean. And thank you that that truth in you is alive. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship.